My dear brothers and sisters, on this beautiful Sunday, the Lord offers us in the Scriptures some meditations on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? We have Elijah calling Elisha to come follow him, and we have Jesus encountering three people in the gospel and calling them to follow as well. Our patron, St. Paul, gives us some insights into discipleship in today's second reading. Maybe a little bit puzzling at first. For freedom, Christ set us free. Huh? For freedom, Christ set us free. What does that mean? Well, we live in the land of the free, but unfortunately, sometimes we don't understand what freedom really is. St. Paul helps to spell it out. He says, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. What slavery is he referring to? The slavery of sin. Grace is what allows us to live in freedom. Sin enslaves us. So it is that the Lord Jesus came to free us, that we might live freely, as children of the light, as today's opening prayer for the Mass said. So we need to think about what does it mean to be free from something, and what does it mean to be free for something? We are meant to be free from sin. St. Paul also spells out what it means that we are to be free for. Serve one another through love. We are to be free for love. And that's what St. Paul says. The whole law is fulfilled in that statement, to love your neighbor. So it is then when St. Paul says, don't be under the law. There he speaks about the law of Moses with all of its different precepts. He's not saying don't live under the law of love. Rather, he's saying that's what we're free for, to love God and to love one another. But we must stay free from sin in order to be free for love. So let's look at these three instances where Jesus encounters these men in the gospel. How can they give us some insight about freedom and discipleship? The first person he encounters comes right up to him and says, I will follow you anywhere you go. And then Jesus gives this very puzzling response. The foxes have dens, the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And then that man didn't follow him. Why not? What was it about Jesus' answer that caused the man that said, I'll go anywhere, I'll follow you everywhere, all of a sudden wasn't going to follow him at all? Jesus said to him, I have nowhere. Even the birds and the animals, the fields, they have more. And the man who had at first been enthusiastic discovered he wasn't free. He was attached to the comforts of life. Now let's be very clear. We have a lot of comforts. We live in a very comfortable society. The most affluent society to ever exist on the face of the planet is ours. And sometimes those comforts enslave us, and they hold us back from following Jesus, who is poor. Jesus, who wants to lead us to heaven, finds that sometimes we would prefer a heaven on earth. We aren't free. We are closed to following Jesus because we want Jesus as well as everything else. We want to hold on to everything we've got. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, God cannot fill what is already full. If you and I have made our lives so full of the comforts of this life, there's not room for Christ in our hearts. We need detachment from comforts, because sometimes discipleship isn't comfortable. Sometimes all these good things here on earth weigh us down, hold us back. Sometimes they make us lose our taste for heaven and forget that that is our true home. So we pray that the Lord Jesus might help us to be free from a slavery to the comforts of this world. The second person that Jesus encounters, it's Jesus who speaks first. He invites him, follow me. And the man replies, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus shocks us a little bit here. Let the dead bury their dead. Oh my goodness. I mean, it sounds like a very honorable thing. Fourth commandment, honor thy father, thy mother. He wants to go and bury his father. What's wrong with that? But Jesus seems very unsympathetic to it. And here's we have to understand that in our hearts, we have competing priorities. You know, there's so many things going on in our lives. Our schedules are so very busy. How do you squeeze it all in? And here's the key about discipleship. Jesus doesn't want to be squeezed in. We need to live our relationship with the Lord first and let everything else fall into that context. Sometimes, maybe in family life, with little ones running around and all of the activity that's there, you say, oh, there's just no time for prayer. And then you wonder why you get impatient and short-tempered with your children. Prayer is what allows us to live faithfully our state in life, to fulfill the duties of our vocation, to be the best mom and dad, the best husband and wife, the best brother and sister, the best neighbor and worker and friend. We need to first be the best disciple. If we are focusing on our relationship with the Lord, focusing on growing in holiness, focusing on living out our baptismal call to be a saint, then it improves every aspect of our life. Even if it means getting up 15 minutes early, losing those precious 15 minutes of sleep, the rest of the day goes better because I'm walking with Jesus rather than trying to do it on my own and squeeze Jesus in wherever he might happen to fit. No, Jesus doesn't fit into some small corner of our heart. The law of love says, love him with all your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that you spend all of your time in church. But it does mean that we see our discipleship as our first priority, and everything else, instead of trying to juggle them all together, everything else falls under that discipleship. If I'm a better follower of Christ, then I will be better at every aspect of my life. And we all know that if there was a competition and people were going to grade us on how well we juggle, not many of us would make it to the circus, would we? Too many things get dropped along the way. Jesus gives to this person not just an invitation, he gives him a mission. Right after he says, let the dead bury the dead, he says, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So much of our time in prayer, we're asking Jesus to do things for us. And sometimes we're just asking Jesus, enable my will. And we're not recognizing he is giving us a mission. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We need to focus on that mission above all else. Now, the third encounter in today's gospel looks very similar to that second one. This person again offers, Jesus, I will follow you. But first, let me say farewell to my family at home. Now, it sounds like the same excuse, but it's not. This is just a delay. You might know that the word tomorrow in Spanish is translated as mañana. And we know that when we say mañana, it sometimes doesn't translate back to tomorrow. It translates to never. Mañana can mean somewhere down the road. But when? Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. You know, this is going to be the Lent that I get on board and I become the best possible Christian that there is. This is going to be the Easter that I get on board. This is going to be the Pentecost. This is going to be the ordinary time in the middle of summer. It's always somewhere just ahead, just beyond the horizon. And when do we ever arrive at the horizon? We don't. It's always just a little bit further ahead. Mañana. Mañana. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us, don't worry about tomorrow, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. We need to deal with today. The saints speak about the grace of the present moment. Here and now. How are we in a relationship with the Lord Jesus in the present? Not what we might do in the future. Here and now. How do we recognize God's presence? How do we answer God's call? How do we live faithful to the gospel in the present moment? I think of the story of St. Peter Julian Aimard, great French priest. He was a diocesan priest, and he was working in his hometown. His parents had died, but he had a sister, and she lived with him and kept the rectory for him. And he felt that God was calling him to do something more than just take care of this parish. In fact, God was calling him to found a religious order and to become an apostle of Eucharistic devotion. And he kept feeling this tug, but then he kept looking at his sister. And whenever he'd mentioned to her, maybe I should, his sister would get a little tear in her eye and she would say, oh, you couldn't leave me, and all of those things. And then he would just kind of wilt and he would stay put. And finally, he mustered up the courage. No, I'm going to do this. I can't escape it. God is calling me to this. And his sister said, okay, fine. I'll make my peace with it. But I'm going to go to the market and do some shopping. And we're going to come back and we're gonna have a nice last supper together. And then you can leave in the morning. So she goes off to do her shopping. And she comes back to find he's gone. And on the table, there is a note that simply says, tomorrow will be too late. Tomorrow will be too late. My brothers and sisters, procrastination is not the path of discipleship. When the Lord calls, we need an answer. We want that answer to be yes. The Lord Jesus wants to free us from a slavery to our comforts, from a slavery wanting to have it all and just squeeze Jesus in, from a slavery to wishful thinking about what might happen to my spiritual life somewhere down the line. Jesus wants to free us from all of that. He wants to free us for love. For loving God. For loving one another. Let's embrace that mission. Let's be his disciples here and now.